Thank you, Lord, for leading us in the song service. Didn't you enjoy that? Amen. And we appreciate him being here and to do that for us tonight. Again, it's good to see everyone. If you'll open your Bibles to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 15. I tell you, it's always exciting as we study God's Word to see how that the way God arranges things in His Word. And then He'll take key words and have great messages with them all throughout the Bible on them. And tonight, as we look at this, we want to see some of the symbolic meanings that God has for the word stars. How he uses those symbolically in teaching us and helping us to understand some of the things that we're to do and what God has done for us. In Genesis chapter 15, God has been dealing with Abraham. And as you know the story of Abraham, Abraham was 75 years old when God really began to put his hand on his life. And God told Abraham that he wanted to bless him in a special way. He wanted to make a great nation, and that the people of this nation would be his descendants. And so he began to prepare Abraham for this, and that he would leave the country where he was at, and God would show him the area, the land, and all in which he would first conquer, and then rule from there, his nation would, and rule the world. Well, of course, that sounded great. But Abraham didn't have any children. How in the world was he going to have a great nation of his own flesh and blood and not without any children? But yet he believed God. And as God began to unfold this plan for him and for the future in that, God would mention about the descendants and how large they would be. He called the descendants a seed, S-E-E-D, not seeds, plural. Now, if we were correct in our English and all, we would say the seeds are as the stars of heaven, grains of sand upon the seashore. But God had it to be thy seed, singular, would be as the stars of heaven, grains of sand upon the seashore. And we'll see what that means in just a moment. And so Abraham believed God, even though he knew he was old and really it was past his place of having children. His wife was old. They tried to have children and couldn't have any children. That was just out of the question on that. But yet Abraham believed. So in chapter 15, verse 5, and he brought Abraham forth, God did, and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said to him, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted to him for righteousness. Now, in Abraham's time, they didn't have any electric lights. There were not any lights or glows from a city or anything else in that light. And so when you went out in the field to look up at the stars at night, it was dark. Every star would shine brightly. The heavens covered thick with the stars. What a sight to behold. And then as Abraham was looking at all of those stars, and he said, now, if you can number those stars, you can number your seed. Man, have you ever tried to count stars at nine? I start off 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. But I get over here and I forget where I'm at. Lose my place. You can lose count right quick. Well, Abraham didn't do that. He said, okay, great, Lord. When are we going to get the job done and work with it? And of course, as you know the story, we'll look at Galatians. We have an interpretation of that. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 16, just to remind you of it. Many of you know this. But the interpretation of that word seed instead of seeds, God had a special purpose for them as he was making this promise to Abraham and to his seed, singular. And so in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 16, the Bible tells us in Galatians 3 and verse 16, now to Abraham and his seed, singular, where the promise is made. And he saith not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed which is Christ. The reason for that word to be seed singular was because the promise was made to Abraham and to Jesus. And as we follow through in the teachings and the scriptures on that, you find that when Jesus came into this world, born of a virgin, Mary and Joseph both had their lineage back through David and to Abraham and to God. And Jesus was considered as the son of Abraham. And so in this connection, Jesus will have those of his followers, those that would be born again by shed blood, would be as the stars of heaven. Abraham, on the other hand, as he wanted to help God, he was waiting on God. Man, he got older and said, nothing's happening. So he decided that he would follow a law of the land. And that was if his wife would agree to it and give her a handmaid, and that he could have that handmaid and they would have a child between him and the handmaid, that child would become his and Sarah's child. And so he wasn't trying to go against God. He just thought God needed a little help. We do that, don't we? Isn't that foolish? God doesn't need any help. He just needs us to be obedient in that. And he'll do his word in that. And so Ishmael was born. He's the father of all the Arabs. And my goodness, trouble began. Whenever we try to do God's work in our power, we create more problems than we solve in that. So that's a lesson to learn. And then later, and Abraham loved Ishmael. And later, Isaac was born through Sarah. Miracle of all miracles. And God said, now Isaac is the one that my covenant is with. And they did. And the descendants of Isaac are the Jews. And they became as the stars of heaven involved in this. And will continue to be in that. So you've got two groups here in that. And so now we find the Bible takes the stars and symbolically use them in relation to Christians, to the saved, to us today. And so we want to look at that. Now, we could look at the study with the Jews, but I'm interested in what he's doing with me, aren't you? What he's doing with us and the relationship we have with them. So, first of all, for our comfort and assurance, we need to turn to Psalms 147. Psalms 147. In Psalms 147, God reveals something with God's relationship with the stars. Now, I've had good friends of mine. In fact, my father, my grandfather, who really loved me more than anything else, and he had some cattle, and he named those, each one of them. They had a name. And then I've known some. I had a dear friend in Sweetwater, Oklahoma, that when that's the first church we came to when we came to Ada. I mean, not to Ada, but to Oklahoma out of Texas. I was pastoring in Texas and came to Sweetwater. And one of our dear friends in that, he had some cattle, and he would raise those cattle, and then he would butcher one of them. Well, he named them, and he just couldn't do that. He couldn't butcher that calf. he had given it a name. His wife would have to send that thing off and get it butchered. And he'd have to try to get his mind to where he wasn't eating one of his Joe or Bill or whatever that he named that calf in there. Well, the stars has the same relationship with God. Look at that now in Psalms 147, verse 4. He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. I tell you, that's beautiful to me. When I think about all of those multitudes of stars, just what we can see is more than we can ever imagine. He counts every one of them. And he has a name for every one. And then today, they've revealed to us with the Hubble telescope and other telescopes that we've got out in space, they wanted to know if there was really an empty space between the stars that we're looking at. We look up there and we see one here and one there, and there's a space there. They wanted to know if that was really empty or if there were other stars in there. So they focused one of the telescopes on that and left it there for a long time so that the light from whatever is in there, if there's any light at all, it would register on the negative of the film and they would be able to see. When they developed that piece of film, there were more stars in that empty space than what they saw here. And that was for every empty space. And sometimes we think we've reached the limit of our cosmos or our universe, and yet we haven't even begun to touch the hem of the garment. All of those that we cannot even see with our naked eye. And even with the modern technology, what we see there, there's more than that. God has every one of them numbered. And he has a name for every one of them. Now, in relation to us on that, God knows every one of us. I don't care how many we are or where we are, God knows every one of us. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19, there was a discussion in this chapter, and God was pointing out how that there were some who were not telling the truth, and that there would be false prophets and teachers, and that they would come our way. And so in that light, God assured us, even though you might have people who pretend to be one thing and they're not, those who think say they're faithful to God and really they're not, those who say they're children of God and they're not children of God. Then we have some of those who are children of God that are so rebellious. Have you ever had a child like that? Don't answer the question. But sometimes we wonder, did I adopt that kid or is that really mine? And there, you know, that you wonder about them. Who's who and who's what? Well, in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Did you get that? The Lord knoweth them that are his. We might not know who they are, but I'll grant you one thing. God knows them. Now, we're not a number. Praise God for that. Even though he numbered the stars and he numbers us as how many we might be in that. He knows everyone in that. But God gave names, made it more personal in that relationship with that. He knows our name in the same way. You're not a number. He knows you by your name. Look at Luke chapter 10 and verse 20. Luke chapter 10 and verse 20. Well, turn to, if you found Luke chapter 10, put your finger there and turn over to John chapter 10, verse 3. John chapter 10 and verse 3. John chapter 10 and verse 3. And here we find again of God's relationship with us, just like he has with the stars, and knowing their number, and he's named every one of them. In John chapter 10 and verse 3, to him, talking about Jesus as the shepherd. Well, let's look at verse 2. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. When God talked to Moses, he didn't say, hey. He said, Moses. When God talked to Samuel, he didn't say, hey, kid, wake up. He said, Samuel. Samuel thought it was Eli that was calling his name. Went in and talked to Eli and said, what do you want? I'm here. He said, I didn't call you. Went back and laid down, and God called his name again. He went back to Eli and said, what do you want? I hear you calling me. And he said, no, I haven't called you. And then it dawned on Eli. I said, well, God's calling you. Next time you hear your name called, you say, here am I. And so he did. And that God calls us by name. Look at Luke now, chapter 10 and verse 20. Luke chapter 10 and verse 20. The 70 had been sent out to witness, and they came back rejoicing that the devils were subject to his name, to the name of Christ, all the power that they had. And then Jesus mentions to them, he says, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. I'm so glad God has named all the stars and he knows our name. Isn't that marvelous? We're not just a number. We are a name. Our names are written in heaven in the Lamb's book of life. And it's there for all of eternity and can never be blotted out. And then in Psalms chapter 8 and verse 3, Psalms chapter 8 and verse 3, we have another relationship of the stars with God. In Psalms chapter 8 and verse 3, in Psalms chapter 8 and verse 3, you know, God's not the God of disorder. He's the God of order. Now, if we was to believe the scientists and those who don't believe in God, that things just happen, we'd have chaos if that was really true in that. A watch cannot just happen. It was designed. It was organized. It was put together for a main purpose. Everything in there had a reason for existence in that. The same thing with our human bodies. They didn't just evolve in that. We would be a horrible thing in that light. But no, every part of our body has a purpose in there. And God designed it. And so even with the stars in our universe, there's so much out there. We have no idea how large our universe is. And God could just have things going any which way. But he didn't have an explosion to happen and just have them just to fly off the handle out there. Everything has a purpose and a task in it. So in Psalms 8, verse 3, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained. The stars are not just there because God was decorating with it. He had a purpose for everything that's out there. Aren't you glad you have a God like that? A God of order and purpose, that we can have a purpose in life. Well, what about our lives? Well, look at John chapter 15 and verse 16. John chapter 15. John chapter 15. And verse 16. This great God of the cosmos, of our universe, of all that is created, and there's nothing created that, or nothing in this universe that God hasn't created. There's nothing that just happened. There's nothing that's a byproduct of anything. God created it all and had it all for a purpose. I've often wondered, why in the world did God create mosquitoes? You know? There's some of these things that God's created that we would just soon to do without, but every one of them has a purpose in his great plan and balancing all of our nature and all of the, which way we live and how we're involved in them. And just as he has ordained the stars and has a purpose with the stars, in John 15 and verse 16, John chapter 15 and verse 16, Jesus said, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you." Oh, we're just not here to be here and occupy time and try to figure out what we're going to do next week on that. I quit doing that. Man, a long time ago, I just put myself in neutral, and whichever way God pushes me, that's the way I go. And I found out I'm just not pushed in all directions. He has a special order and places for me to be. I never dreamed when God called me to preach over 60 years ago in Luling, Texas. I never had any concept of Oklahoma. I never had a dream about being any of the places that God took me down through these years, as he led me from one church to another, from one state to another, one community to another, and every one of them had a purpose. And I'm so thankful that God would use this unworthy servant in helping some others, but it was for me, developing me to be able to serve in the new place that he would take me to. He's ordained my life. He's ordained your life in that we can serve him. He's ordained us to bear fruit. We're not here just to abide time. We have a purpose. And dealing with eternal souls, don't you realize what's really before you? That person that you meet, that person that you do business with, that person that's in your family or in your school or in your business, that person is an eternal soul, and you're the one to bring them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. What you do affects their life. God has ordained that you're there and that you might be obedient to him in order to bring them to a saving knowledge of Jesus, that they might come to know Christ and that they might be born again as a child of God. I'm so glad that I have a purpose in life. And I'm just not trying to every day trying to figure, well, now what am I supposed to do? No, God has a purpose there. And what a joy it is to follow that. Just as the stars have a purpose in life. And so we are ordained to bring forth fruit. And I like that. Let me just say that this morning, God had me to preach on the name Jesus at Conwell. And God blessed that tremendously in that, and how important the name is. And one of the things about the name of Jesus, people are healed by the name of Jesus. There's so much power in just the name of Jesus. And that we pray in the name of Jesus. One of the things that God brought to my heart, and he wants me to share it with you tonight in that as we're on this verse, that our nation and our world's in a terrible mess. Now, many of you here tonight that are up in the age with me, and I won't say older, but up in the age with me in that light on there, we can remember when America was used by God. America lifted the name of Jesus in holy reverence. And because of that, nations all over the world looked to America. And they saw how America was being blessed by God because they honored the name of Jesus and of God. And so people from other nations left their homeland. They didn't want their religion anymore. They came to America to find a new religion. They didn't want their politics. They came to America to find new politics. They didn't want anything of their homeland. They wanted to come to America to have a new life and the blessings that God was giving America. America was a beacon to the world. But today, over the past years, we've tried as America to take the name of God and the name of Jesus away. We don't want our kids to use the name of Jesus in our schools. We don't want our government officials to have anything to do with God or the name of Jesus. What happened to our nation? What happened to America? Instead of a place of freedom and where you could leave your homes with the doors open and unlocked, where you could walk down the street safely, it's become a place of great danger on every hand. You can't even go shopping with total freedom in that and security here in America. I'm not talking about some other country. Now today, who comes to America? Not people who want a different religion, not people who want a different life. They are coming to America, keeping their religion, keeping their way of life, and they want to change America. We didn't have that problem in the past. Why? Because we had the name of Jesus on. What happened? Oh, we'd like to figure out all kinds of things. We could suggest a lot of things, but let me just bring out one point. We have enough churches in America, enough people who claim the name of Jesus can turn America upside down, change it totally and completely, and that's what happened in the yesteryears. But our churches quit doing that. We pulled within ourselves, not wanting to help anybody else. Just as long as me and my four were okay, that's fine. We're satisfied with that. We became selfish in this light and let our nation go to the dogs, so to speak. What happened to prayer? Now, there are a lot of prayers going on today. Don't misunderstand me. I mean, in America, there are thousands and thousands of prayers. I was checking one of my churches that I was pastoring in, and the question is brought up, well, we don't pray enough. Well, I sat down and I began to count the number of times we pray as a church and how many people were praying in it. Every Sunday school class was praying. Every time they met, every member in there was praying. You start adding those up. And then we prayed two or three times during the worship service. Everybody in the congregation was praying. So you add those numbers to it. And on you go. There were more people praying than we ever thought about that was actually praying in the church. Then prayer chain. And on we went. Man, we had a lot of people praying. Well, why aren't we getting results? Then I noticed something in Southern Baptists. Now, I don't know about the other denominations, but I know about Southern Baptists. Something started moving in Southern Baptists that no one said anything about. And that was they no longer would use the name of Jesus in their prayers. I can go before my Heavenly Father, not in my authority. I can go before my Heavenly Father, not because I'm a Baptist or because of my works. I only can go before my Heavenly Father in the authority of the name of Jesus. I have no other authority. And my Heavenly Father, the God of this universe that counts all the stars and calls them by name, He's willing to listen to me when I come in the name of Jesus. Jesus teaches this throughout, that if we want anything, when we ask the Father in His name, He will do it. And when we start praying and end our prayers, well, in your name. Are you afraid to say the name Jesus? Are you embarrassed to say the name Jesus? I'm not embarrassed to say the name Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, we sung a while ago. But I don't want to mention His name when I pray. I don't want to pray in His authority or come with that privilege and that power. No wonder our prayers are not being answered. We've got prayers going on all the time, but they're in some other name. God's not going to answer your prayers if it's in the name of the Holy Spirit. He's not going to answer your prayers if it's in His name. The only way God answers our prayers is in the precious holy name of Jesus. Notice that verse again. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye ask the Father in my name, He may give it you. So simple. But the devil has tried to get that out. Now that was extra, so we got to get back to the message tonight. The stars. We'll look at Psalms 148 and verse 3. Psalms 148 and verse 3. Psalms 148 and verse 3. Here, God's relationship with the stars and our relationship with Him. In 148 verse 3, praise ye Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all ye stars of light. God ordained them for a special purpose. One of them is to praise Him. Well, what about us in that? We'll turn to Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. There are so many verses, and I'm just bringing out some of the key verses for you to look at and to think about in this. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. Hebrews 13 and verse 15. Hebrews 13 and verse 15. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. The joy, the privilege of praising God. Man, it's not only honoring Him, but man, it blesses you as we praise Him. Oh, I love the song service. And tonight, Lord, thank you for doing a great job in this. And I didn't have to get up here and try to get everybody in the mood. You were already there. I could hit the pulpit running. Why? Because we lifted up the power of God and the name of God in our singing. And we do that in our services here. I tell you what, I appreciate our orchestra and choir. Oh, man, we've been blessed tremendously. And the songs of just praising our God. How can we sit there and not sing? Now, I know we're to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. So I fail in that part. Now, I'll sing, but it might not be joyful to others. It is to me. Whether you like it or not, whether I'm on tune or not, doesn't make any difference. When I praise God, He loves it. And we need to praise God. Sing out and give Him the praise and your testimonies. And then we find in Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 35. Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 35. Here again of one of the purposes that God has for the stars. Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 35. In Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 35. But thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar, the Lord of hosts is his name. The ordinances of the stars for a light by night. Many a sailor down through the centuries have been able to find their way back home by the light of the stars. What a blessing we have there. As Christians, we have that same responsibility of being a star as lights to the world to find their way home to God. Look at it in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 15. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 15. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 15. Every time I read this, I see America in this. And I pray one day we can read it and not see America there. And I believe it will come. I still have faith in God, not in man, but in God. And when the church will wake up and be what God wants us to be, we can change America in the power of God and through the name of Jesus Christ. And America, once again, be that beacon that God wants us to be, that star that people all over the world will want to follow and find life and hope in this. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 15, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. I don't care how ugly it gets, how crooked it gets, how messed up this whole nation gets. We, as God's children, have an ordained purpose to be as the stars, as a light to this nation, that they might know the truth and would come to that truth. What a blessing it is to have a purpose that will lead others under the care of our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Man, what a blessing it is. And then in Matthew chapter 2 and verse 9, God uses a star in a special way. Matthew chapter 2 and verse 9, you'll recognize this. We find that Jesus was born of a virgin and in Bethlehem. And then about 2 years or 3 years later, some men had been traveling from other parts of the world, three men. They came looking for the King of Israel, for the Holy One, for the Messiah. And the way they came was because of a star that led them to Jesus. And so in Matthew chapter 2 and verse 9, when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, in which they saw in the east, went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. They found Jesus under the leadership of a star. We, as children of God, are to be that type of star, where we're to lead others to Jesus, to find that hope in everyday life, to find that assurance, that comfort, and that strength, to have that faith that can move mountains. Look at it now in Daniel chapter 12 and verse 3. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 3. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 3. Have you noticed how that the Old Testament and New Testament just goes right along together? They're not separate. This is not 66 books. This is one book, the book of God. Oh, what a miracle. This is not man's doing. It never could be man's doing. It's God's holy divine word. In Daniel chapter 12 and verse 3, Daniel chapter 12 and verse 3, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and that they turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. We have a responsibility. We have the marvelous privilege and honor of letting Jesus shine through our lives. The star is bright to bring others to a saving knowledge of our Lord and Savior. Now, before we get the big head, God has a great purpose for us, many blessings, and we're to praise Him. But we're not all that we ought to be, sadly to say. In Job chapter 25 and verse 5, God reveals something to Job, and through the conversation of his friends, and God tells us in Job 25 and verse 5, behold, even the moon, and it shineth not. Scientists didn't even know that until later on, that the moon doesn't shine, it reflects. And we're to reflect the glory of God in that. But now, he says, behold, even the moon, it shineth not. Yea, the stars are not pure in his sight. The stars are not pure in his sight. But such a loving Father has made the way possible that we can be righteous in His sight. And that's through the shed blood of our Lord and Savior. Because of the death of Jesus on the cross, we can have forgiveness, we can be sanctified, we can be justified just as if we'd never committed any sin whatsoever. And stand in the righteousness of our Lord and Savior. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8. The Bible tells us very clearly in this. And sometimes we as children of God with the blessings we have. And what God has done for us. That man, I've been cleansed. And you're stayed cleansed. No, you've been cleansed. Now you'll never lose your salvation. But you can still get dirty. And many of us have gotten dirty, amen? And God reminds us of that in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. God doesn't reveal the sin in your life so that He might punish you. He reveals the sin in your life that you might realize the problem you have. You might realize death is knocking on your door. He reveals that sin in your life so that you could come to Him and have that sin removed. Man cannot remove 1 ounce of sin from their lives. There's no way you can take sin out. We have all kinds of programs and deeds, and they're good programs and all, but you cannot change anyone. Only God can change a person. And we can come to God through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, and He forgives us and cleanses us of our sins. Isn't that marvelous? As soon as we turn around and start to do what He wants us to do, and we stumble and fall and sin again, He reminds us to let that guilt fall heavy upon us so that we could come back to Him and find that forgiveness. Isn't that a loving Father? But now if you refuse to do that, He will spank you. He doesn't want to. He's got a great deal of patience, but His patience does come to an end. The stars are not pure, but God makes us pure through Jesus Christ and keeps us that way as we receive His forgiveness. Oh, what a blessing we have. Now, to have all of that, God relates the stars to this, to us in that. So turn to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19. A beautiful, beautiful picture that is here. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19. And here God is relating through Peter. We have a more sure word of prophecy, whereinto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. That day star is Jesus. And you don't have to wait till he comes to have that. It says here, until the day star arise in your heart. Right now, that day star can rise in your heart and you can be born again. John 3:3, Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. Let the day star come in. And then you can be a star that will guide others to Christ. You can be a star that will be a light and a testimony in the evil world. You can be a star that will give praise and honor to God. You can be a star that brings others to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. What a Father we have. And it starts with a day star in your heart. Will you be the star that will stay cleansed as you repent of your sins, confess them before God, and let him cleanse you?